listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up guys? It's JK3.
Hey guys, we are joined today by a second time guest. He came on last year and is coming back this year to talk a little bit about OTAs and what's going on with the Jags. And that is Jamal St. Cyr with News for Jacks. He covers the Jaguars. Hey Jamal, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. Glad to be back. I had fun last time, and it's definitely an exciting time around the Jaguars, so a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you're actually our first, kind of media person that we've had on for this offseason. So we certainly appreciate you doing this. And that's kind of the first question that I had was, you know, being that there's a lot of excitement and a lot of big changes, you know, new coach and new GM and, you know, Trevor Lawrence and, Tim Tebow. I know that's kind of like a thing that's, you know, whatever, but, you know, there's a lot of changes and a lot of cool stuff going on. So, from the media engagement perspective, though, what are the biggest differences or changes that you guys have seen on your side, from your perspective upon Urban's arrival and all the shakeups that have happened?
As far as engagement goes, it's really tough to put a thumb on it because, last year with COVID and everything going on, it was, all Zoom interviews and things like that. So, even now the player interviews are all still Zoom. We were able to do some in-person interviews with Urban and Trevor when they first got here and for around the NFL draft. But it's just really tough to really get a great feel for just how open and accepting they'll be as far as media engagement goes, just because of the regulations that they're under right now.
You know, the crazy part about that part, Jamal, is when they announced that Urban was going to be the coach, I'm like, he is the ultimate control freak. So I was expecting it to be like lockdown, like solitary confinement, 23-hour lockdown.
You sound like you speak from experience.
No, I don't speak from no experience. But no, just he's such a control freak, and it's just – it's like, wow, okay, yeah, we got Urban Meyer and, things are going to change. And so I'm just waiting for that day when things really change and people are like, it's so different. Well, we want to win. We need something different. So I don't know. That's just what I'm waiting for.
We're close enough to Gainesville that they have a couple of guys that are covering the Jaguars now that used to cover Urban when he was coaching at Florida. And that's what they said. They were like, he wasn't that great with the media when he was in Gainesville. But then a couple of guys kind of came back that had covered him at Ohio State and said that he had kind of adapted and gotten better. I mean, every interaction I've had with Urban has never been, he's always been great with us. And as far as interviews go and answering questions, as open and accepting as he can be now, as far as what he's going to be like when you start asking for certain players and stuff once the season starts rolling on, I have no idea. But, I guess that's just going to be kind of part of what we'll have to figure out.
Hey, Jamal, before we get into the nitty gritty of the OTAs and things like that, with the last year, we did have, COVID, you still had a job to do. How has it been, for you to build a relationship with players, through Skype versus being, in the locker room versus being up close, how has your job kind of transitioned and kind of adapted through all of this?
Man, it's made it a lot tougher to really be able to build those relationships. And I know the locker room will probably be closed again this year for sure. And it's tough to really get a chance to build those relationships with those guys because we only get so much time on Zoom and there's so many people trying to get questions in as opposed to when the locker rooms were open, we could kind of go in there, have some conversations off camera and just kind of get to know people as a person. Some of the guys have been real great. Like Josh Allen's one of those that's really made sure that there's always been time to get to know kind of the media and the guys that are covering the team. Minshew was good last year with everything that was going on about always talking and answering every question that there was. But it just makes it a little bit more difficult to try and really get to know people. Because everything's virtual and they're trying to get to a meeting. And so it's just a little bit more difficult. And they know that there's no off camera conversation when you're doing it over that virtual.
Yeah, no, I bet, man. Well, let's talk about the energy of the team. Let's start. I mean, everybody talks about Trevor Lawrence and things, and we'll talk about the QBs, but the energy on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, there's no games. Okay, we know they're just going through the motion. They're doing a lot of things, getting the technique right, staying in shape. But what kind of energy do they have out there, especially on defense?
Man, look, OTAs are a different ball game, but that is the one thing that I've said at every OTA I've gone to is that the energy around this team is so different than it's been in years past. That I've noticed these guys are out there excited before every practice, jumping, dancing. And really, it's a lot of those new faces that you've seen Urban bring in, Jahad Ward, Roy Robertson Harris. Those guys are out there really getting that defense excited before practice there. I mean, there was one OT, I think it was last week, where the defensive line was doing a drill where the coach was holding the pads and they knocked down the coach a couple of times and guys were, you know, cheering for knocking over the coach. And that's how they wanted to do it. And the coach just kept getting up, taking it. I was like, okay, this is a little bit different. I was like, if I was the coach, I'd have passed that pad to somebody else. But, you know, hey, they're definitely excited. There's a different energy around this team right now. Guys look like they're excited to be there and excited to put in work.
So, I mean, with Urban coming in and with a new coach coming in, they always kind of have their own different, like, you know, moniker. I think Urban's is, you know, own it and, you know, plus going two. An extra 2 yards and all plus two. Plus you know, two. All, yeah. So how has the team kind of taken on that vibe? And, you know, from a player perspective and from the things that you've seen out there, you know, what does it look like? I mean, are they all flying to the ball? Is it, you know, I mean, it's only shorts and helmets, you know, you can only do so much. But, you know, since you've been covering the team for a while, like, how does everyone look versus being in, you know, in different OTAs from now?
I mean, the guys look in shape. They look energized and they've bought in. I think the own it thing definitely resonates. The plus two thing just is strange to me. I mean, they were going through drills the other day and each guy crossed the line, the coach was like, do it plus two, plus two. I was like, okay, I don't know how we're doing this, but but yeah, there's definitely the own it and the plus two, and the guys look like they're buying into the plus two and the own it. And who knows how that's really resonating with them, you know, personally for each guy. But right now they're buying what Urban's selling and they love a lot of the things that Urban's been able to do. I mean, he's done a lot of things, not even off the football field, just making sure that he keeps saying he wants to make sure that the Jaguars have the best of equipment. He wants to make sure that the players have the best. So now they have like extra massage artists. They said they didn't have like the cupping that a lot of players in the NFL had access to previously. Now they have that at the facility. So apparently he's added a lot of little things behind the scenes for these players to make sure that, okay, guys, you know, these workouts right now are voluntary, but if you come here, you have access to everything you could possibly want. You're not going somewhere else to say, well, they have better equipment than the team does.
Yeah, and I think that plays a lot of really big, because you see in Instagram, if you follow players now, there's more access via Instagram and all the other places. So you see them going to these different places and getting these different treatments, these different therapies, and people are really trying to take the LeBron James, Russell Wilson approach to their health and investing in their bodies. So it's good that they're putting that here in Jacksonville, one, to keep the athlete here, but then two, also to help build that camaraderie and realize that you don't really have to go, you know, far away to get the same therapy and the same treatments. You can have it here while still building that that camaraderie with your teamwork or with your teammates. I did have a quick question, though. You know, with OTAs, as far as the things that we see and we're following and looking on the outside and watching, you know, social media and things like that, it's a lot easier for the offense to look more productive than the defense. You know, you see LaVishka out there moving. You see Trevor connecting with DJ, you know, even Marvin Jones. How does the secondary look competing against Trevor Lawrence? And, you know, how has he looked, with coming into an NFL, you know, defense, making that transition from Clemson? You know, how's he looked there, number one? Number two, kind of contrary to that, how have the receivers adapted to him? Because some of the receivers now are on their second, third quarterback. You know, how's DJ adapted to, you know, T-Law? You know, how's everything going, you know, as far as the skill positions go?
So let me answer your second question first. Trevor has not worked with a lot of the starters consistently.
Okay.
they've let Gardner Minshew work with a lot of those guys still. And I attribute that just to, you know, he's the rookie. They're going to make him kind of work for it a little bit. He's gotten some reps with those guys. The reps I've seen out there with him with DJ Chark and Marvin Jones and those guys have looked good. But the majority of those reps have been Minshew with those guys that you'd say are the ones right now, with Trevor Lawrence getting the twos reps and then CJ Beathard going in for the threes. As far as the Trevor Lawrence overall, I mean, I've liked what I've seen from him at times. And then the only practice that I can say that we saw that I didn't like what I saw from him was I guess that was Tuesday. So earlier this week, because Irving says it was because of an injury, but he didn't throw much. And he threw three passes during 7-on-7 and team drills. And of those three passes, two of them were interceptions. So, not exactly the best day of practice. Now, after Urban said he had tweaked the hamstring, and that's why he wasn't throwing too much.
So the hamstring's connected to the right arm, you know.
Right, you know. So it's like, okay, I'm not sure how that really goes together, but, you know. Whatever. That also goes towards saying, look, this is where the defense is and it's taken steps forward. I think Shaq is going to be a great leader for that defense and he's going to be a good player for them. CJ Henderson looks like he's ready to pick up where he was last season before the injury, which will be good. We haven't seen a whole lot from Tyson Campbell, who we know is going to need to play a big role for this team just because he tweaked his hamstring during rookie mini camp. So they've just been kind of walking him along. Andre Sisco is another guy who might play a big role for the secondary who hasn't really hit the field yet because he's still rehabbing from tearing his ACL last season. Mm-hmm. Sidney Jones was one of the guys that picked off Trevor Lawrence earlier this week. So pretty good offseason from him so far.
Right.
So the secondary seems to be adapting pretty well. I like Rayshon Jenkins. They moved him around a lot during the practices and he flies around the football. So he looks like he'll be a pretty good addition. I think this next week during mandatory minicamp, we should get a little bit better of a feel of just how good or what steps they've really taken. But so far, I mean, I've liked what I've seen.
And how do they dial up the intensity from OTAs to like mandatory minicamp? Like, you know, do you think they have any type of plan in place to, you know, kind of crank it up and kind of turn up the dial to try to get more intense before they get into, you know, training camp?
I'd say they're probably going to start working. They'll do a little bit more team things and a lot of work that way and really get the guys out there and try and get them to go full speed a little bit more as opposed to where OTAs are a lot of individuals and they're working on little things like ball placement and hand placement. And they spend a lot of time with the pads. I think we'll see a lot more, like the receivers will probably go do one-on-ones with the defensive back more. We'll see a lot more stuff like that. So that way there's a little bit more competition between the guys.
Yeah, no, competition. And although majority of folks out there might think there might not be any competition at the quarterback position, obviously because we picked a QB1, but you got Minshew on the team who doesn't deserve to be ignored, who's not talked about. Since we're talking about the QB room, let's set the record straight. We're not talking about Tebow. Okay. For those of you who still dream, Herb's going to put him back there. I'm telling you, no. Okay. No. But how do you think that plays out, man? Like that's an interesting story that not a lot of people are talking about because, you know, everyone just assumes that, Minshew will get cut and somebody will pick him up. But allegedly there's been no kind of trade movement. And I say allegedly because I think Urban's the poker player. And if they did have something on the table, he's not leaking it, but he maybe they don't. So how do you think that plays out?
Now, I know the report today was that they want a fifth or sixth round pick for Minshew. I think ultimately Trevor's your starter from week one. Ultimately, that is firmly what I believe. As far as Minshew goes right now, I think he's on the roster week one, unless they find another backup. I haven't seen anything from CJ Beathard that says if Trevor Lawrence has to go down and just miss two quarters, I could trust him to go out on the football field and be competitive. I haven't seen it. The two best quarterbacks on the field so far during OTAs have been Trevor Lawrence, Gardner Minshew, in that order. And then there's a big gap and there's CJ Beathard third. And then there's Jake Luton somewhere back there too. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to cut Minshew. Urban has said that he loves Minshew's competitiveness, which is one of the things that Urban's always said. He wants competitive players, and that was Minshew's calling card, is that he's competitive. You can say what you want about how he handled like his thumb injury last year, but I mean, to some extent, that's a guy trying to be competitive who knows this is his one shot, trying to play through it. I think unless somebody blows their socks off, there's a quarterback injury during training camp, or they can find a veteran guy to come in and be their backup. Right now, I feel like Minshew is going to be on this roster.
And that's very strange, you know, because when you think of NFL, prototypical NFL, you've got your young QB and you've got your 10-year vet. Look at Kansas City. Chad Henne's been in the league like 16 years, okay, or something crazy like that. And, you know, obviously, it's the start. Mahomes is the starter. And that's what people want to see, is because that's the way the NFL does it. Personally, if Minshew's the backup, that doesn't bother me one bit, because it's something different, and that's what Herbs want. That's what I want him to do. We've been trying the traditional way for years around here, and you see the results. So, I mean, let's shake it up a little bit. That's my only thing. That's why I like Minshew. I hope he's on that makes the roster week one, like you just said.
Well, they did try and bring in Alex Smith before he ultimately decided to retire. When he did his interview, he said that that was one of the Jaguars were trying to bring him in, and Urban had kind of said that he really wanted to see Alex come here. So that would have been your veteran guy. That could have been your backup quarterback. But right now, I think Minshew's the guy.
Jamal, one quick question. What's the personality dynamic of those two on the field? I mean, has Lawrence kind of taken on that, you know, leadership role of the team as a whole, or is he still kind of deferring to Minshew a little bit on his experience? Like, what does that look like between the two of those guys when they're out there practicing?
You know, right now, I don't think it's a question of anybody that this is Trevor's team. All the players have said that he's doing all the right things. All the coaches have said that he's doing all the right things. When the reps come and they're stretching, he's leading the way. The only time that Minshew really gets those number one reps are when they've been going with team. But I think it's Trevor's team. I don't think there's any question of that. Nobody on the team is questioning that. If somehow Minshew was started a game this year, it's because Trevor couldn't go. I don't see a situation. Just seeing what I've seen on that field, I mean, there are coaches that are checking on Trevor after the majority or between exercises. There's not coaches going checking on every other player on the roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, right. He's your guy.
What about his temperament, just, you know, after those interceptions, for example, yesterday? You know, how does he handle that kind of adversity, at least from, you know, visual perspective?
You know, he definitely is a guy who holds himself to a high level. The only practice before the one this week where they said he had a bad practice was, I think, the first OTA, where they did some red drone drills, and Trevor and Urban both weren't too pleased with the way he had kind of played. But overall, I mean, from what we could see, it was fine. I mean, given they were about 80 yards the other direction.
Are they still doing that where they're like playing, where they're on like other opposite sides of the field?
Yeah.
I know you can't say too much about it, but I like, as a fan, sometimes, you know, when I do take off the time for work and try to like, all right, on a Wednesday, let me try to get out here a little bit early. I want to beat the training camp practice. I just want to get out there and just try to see. They put them on like a third field all the way over. And in the latest renderings, there's only one field. So I'm happy about that.
The new place, I think, will be really nice once it's put together. And I mean, this is definitely an Urban thing. This is that new facility is something that Urban was rumored to have wanted before he took the job. And it just goes completely with his philosophy of giving players the best. And being able to have a new training facility right there close to the stadium is right up Urban's alley of giving players the best they can have.
Yeah, no, he definitely, in the last few episodes, I have said the courtship was going to be good. The engagement and then marriage is going to feel great. And then, you know, let's knock on wood, but Herbs and the divorces, man, they haven't looked too good, man.
Yeah.
You mentioned it, and again, if Urban leaves, and we get maybe three Super Bowl appearances, two Super Bowls.
You take that every time.
Yeah, no, I know.
You right. I'll take it. They're gonna put a statue up on the other side of the stadium, outside or opposite of the big Jaguar.
And I hope that he leaves us with a coach like he left Ohio State instead of Florida, because you see what happened at Ohio State versus what happened at Florida. So, yeah, because if he has a statue and we have a Super Bowl ring, but the coach is terrible, we're gonna be right back down in the dumps, man. So.
Doesn't matter. We still got the W. It doesn't matter. Again, man, like it's OTAs, and I don't want to be super overreactive and super harping on it, but our media passes haven't been approved yet, so I have to ask you the questions and try to figure it out. But I mean, it's still shorts and helmets, but J-Rob. I was a huge J-Rob fan. I loved how, the coaches saw something in him, and, he ended up being like either fourth or fifth in the NFL, as an undrafted free agent, set all these, records. Does he make that second year leap? And it's tough to see from the running back position, because they're not he can only do so much from there. But, how's he look right now? And, to kind of follow up with that, ETN, Trevor's security blanket, where does he kind of fit within the offense also?
As far as when you say a second year leap, if you're talking numbers, I just don't think there's going to be the opportunity for him to beat those numbers that he put up last year. Not with ETN here. And every time you say running game, for whatever reason, one of the first names out of Urban's mouth is Carlos Hyde. I don't see it. A lot of people, other people don't see it, but I think he wants to get all three of these guys involved in that running game. So I don't see him beaten from a numbers perspective. Physically,
because
just don't think there's going to be the opportunity. I think he'll be fresher by the end of the season, but I just don't think from a pure opportunity perspective, he's going to be able to beat those numbers. Now, I know he said he wanted to work on his long speed and get faster this offseason, and he does look quicker.
He did get hopped in a couple of times.
That was the thing that we, everybody, he'd get out there 20 yards, but there was somebody right behind him on his tail. He does look quicker, given they're in shorts right now. So if that speed carries over once they put the pads on, we can see some longer runs from him, which would be good. I think he'll probably have more catches this year than he had last season, just because in this offense, it looks like they're planning to use those guys split out and really try and get the ball in their hands quick. Some of those kind of quick screen passes that we've seen.
Gotcha.
ETN looks good. He's working out with the wide receivers a lot too. So he'll be all over the field. He'll be one of those guys you kind of got to look around and say, all right, where's number one on the field, because we'll see a lot of James Robinson and ETN on the field by the time the season gets started. So both of those guys will play a big role for this offense. I think we'll see James Robinson split outside some too, just because that's what they've looked like they want to do. They've done it a few times during teams so far. So those guys are going to get a chance to catch some passes and move around the formations. I think ETN has caught the ball pretty well, given there have been some times where there have been some drops, but he's a guy who's constantly been working on that, and as he seems to be picking up, lining up in the slot and catching passes and running against DBs pretty well. So we'll see how it all comes together. It's definitely an exciting tandem. I don't know how Carlos Hyde really fits into that trio, but Urban Meyer loves to throw that name out there. He likes him some Carlos Hyde, I can tell you that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So since, I mean, coming from, you know, him, Carlos Hyde, having that relationship with Urban, probably the player that has the biggest relationship with him, you know, Tebow, is he getting significant reps in practice, like from what you can report? Like, I mean, some of the time, I was scrolling through Twitter and I saw, you know, from one of the 10-10 guys that Tebow had caught a pass, a long pass from Trevor Lawrence, and I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing based off the defense. So is he getting significant, like, play, you know, within, you know, the OTAs?
Well, and that goes back to what I mentioned earlier about Trevor. Trevor hasn't been running with the ones much. So that pass to Tebow was with the third string guys or so. So it's not like he was getting reps with, you know, Marvin Jones, DJ Chark, and those guys. Now, given ones, twos, threes, it's all jumbled right now. But the guys that we would call, probably you'd look at and say, oh, that's the starters. He's not running with those guys right now.
Is it Ben Hurst or Colin Johnson? You know, what do we have?
For the most part, it's O'Shaughnessy and Manhurts. The only guys that I like, the reason, like my thing with Tim Tebow is he's in shape. I can give him that. And he can catch the ball. He doesn't really extend out and like go get it the way you really want a receiver to. But I think he has a shot at making the roster just because when you look at that tight end position, you say, all right, who's definitely going to make it? Well, you can say Manhurts is going to make it. And then you could probably say O'Shaughnessy is probably going to make it, but you're not necessarily in love with that. And Manhurts is just a run blocker. So it's like, okay, does he have a shot at making it? Who does he have to beat out? A fifth round pick, a sixth round pick from last year, an undrafted guy. Like, I mean, if he can't beat out those three guys, then he's just can retire and call it a day. So does he have a shot at making it? Yeah. Is he getting some work in practice? Yeah. Is he a little bit better at tight end than I expected him to be? Yeah. Cause I thought it was a joke, you know? So he's caught passes in all the drills that we've seen. I don't think I've seen him drop a pass. I can tell you that.
Wait, say it one more time. I want to see Derek's soul leave his body one more time. Say that one more time. You haven't
Let's see. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute, guys. Hold on. When I look at Tebow at the tight end position, I don't look at him as the pass catching tight end like that. He could get alligator hands on a couple throws. There have been players in the league that have gotten alligator hands. Sure. What I'm worried about is when he's in the game and the defense recognizes that and they're coming. I said they put a and we try not to get too technical here, Jamal, on the show, but we love talking shop sometimes. Let's say they drop that safety down. They get eight men, and they're coming on that side. Let's say Lawrence shifts the line, keeps him in. He's stemmed, which means he's off. Let's say they put him back on. Then he's one-on-one with a defensive end. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. Yeah. Okay. It's they're going to eat. Okay. That defensive line's going to eat. Okay. I don't want to see him fail. I don't want to see him fail. It's not about bashing him, but come on. There's only a handful of people on this earth that would be able to block a NFL defensive end. And unfortunately, as great as he was as a college QB and as an incredible athlete and just motivational guy, I don't see him being able to do that.
Well, my other end of that is that, you know, more than likely, if he makes this roster, I don't see them trying to put him in that position. You got to know your players' strengths and weaknesses. And, like, I wouldn't want James O'Shaughnessy one-on-one with a defensive end. You know what I mean? So, that's right in that same vein. And that's what they brought Manhurts in for. And given, obviously, once you get to the line of scrimmage, you start shifting things around. And guys' responsibilities aren't exactly what you hope they were all the time. But I think Manhurts is going to play a lot and they're good. I mean, he's a blocker, plain and simple. He's the best blocking tight end they got on the roster. And according to them, one of the best in the NFL. So if they need somebody to block or they're anticipating somebody to block, he's going to be out there. And they'll just kind of divvy up the passes from there. If Tebow made it, I could see him kind of working around as more of like a slot option. I don't think they'll put him in a position where he would have to be trying to block one-on-one with a defensive end. And if they do, you know what? It's not going.
Yeah.
They don't have a shot. It's not.
And that's my biggest thing. Is so when you I don't want to see the guy fail, but I also want to make sure that we have the foundation for a winning team. And hey, he's a great locker room guy. So that's a big plus, because you got to have the foundation in the locker room too. So, you know, I'll take that right now. That's what we have to take. That's what we got to do.
I think ultimately there are some guys on the street that they could have brought in that could have had a bigger upside at tight end. Sure. Cause I know there was the one rugby guy or something that got brought into Tennessee. But you don't know how Tebow can work out. And when you look at that tight end position, there's just so many question marks of who can be an NFL pass catcher. And O'Shaughnessy is a solid option, but he has so many – he's always hurt. How many games can you really depend on him to be available for you at? Manhurts is fine, but in his, 6 or 7 years in the NFL, he's caught less than 20 passes. So I can't expect him to catch 20 passes this season. Mm-hmm. So Luke Farrell at Ohio State, he good run blocker, but he didn't catch a lot of passes in college. Can't imagine that's going to change now that he's in the NFL. Tyler Davis was a 6th-round pick from Georgia Tech. Like, he didn't throw up crazy numbers in college. Again, didn't do much last year in the NFL. Can't imagine that's going to change too much. And then who's the other guy? Ben Eifelson. He was undrafted and hasn't done a whole lot besides blocking the NFL. So, I mean, I really was hoping they were going to find a way to draft a guy with a little bit more pass catching clout, or maybe somebody gets cut in training camp, but they've got to find a way to improve that position. So right now, Tebow is at least the wild card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they tried to address the tight end position, but New England scooped up, the top two tight ends, and so it looks like they're going back to their formula of, what got them great. I mean, even with Njoku as well, whatever they didn't see, or maybe Cleveland was asking for too much within the free agent market. But again, like you said, man, he's only got to be a couple guys out for him to be that tight end. And I'm not thinking that it's going to be, he's definitely not going to be like a Travis Kelce or anything else like that, but he's there.
If he could give you what O'Shaughnessy, part of what O'Shaughnessy gives you, you're in a better position than you were before. I mean, when you look at just looking at it, you need a receiving tight end that can give you something, anything on that mm-hmm. roster. Right now, O'Shaughnessy is the only guy that has any pass catching chops. So you just hope that Tebow can give you, if he can be half of O'Shaughnessy, that's great for your backup. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've got to hope for. Yeah, they were probably players players for those big tight ends, but New England paid for them. And I think Urban and Trent, being in their first year, didn't want to just blow up all the cap space that they had and just throw all the cash to the wind. So they've kind of played it a little bit safer. And then come draft time, they said they stuck to their board and they didn't have any of the guys rated high enough to grab them that were there. And outside of Kyle Pitts, I don't know, Freiermuth was okay, but there wasn't anybody that at tight end that I'm like, I can't believe they passed on this guy. So
just because I like the psychology, pieces of this, and asking you about Trevor and Gardner, like with Tebow and the other guys on the field, when he comes out or since he's been on the team, is there any kind of weird vibe around him when he's out there, or is everybody pretty professional about it?
What's funny is when they first had the rumors that Tebow was going to join the team and be tight end, I remember seeing some tweets from a couple of the defensive guys saying stuff like, I could play tight end too. And then but since he's been signed, there hasn't been anything weird. There hasn't been, anybody acting strange. The guys that have been asked about him have said that Tebow's fitting in well in the locker room. He's out there talking with the coaches and with the tight end group and with the other guys, just like any other player is. So he seems to be fitting in fine now that he's here.
The deciding factor is going to be when Cleveland comes to town on that first preseason game and Saturday night, Jacksonville is going to be all hopped up And if Tebow, I'm telling you, man, if this dude catches like a 5 or 10 yard out route and runs someone over, it's going to be over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is literally it. If he scores, don't let him score.
God, please don't let him. The bank will blow up at that point.
If he scores, my goodness. If he scores, you see, oh my God.
And that's what every Gator fan hopes for, Jamal.
No,
that's what if he scores in a preseason game, oh man, it's going to change everything. Yeah.
This is not a Gator fan. This is literally just realizing he's got one of the highest selling jerseys in the NFL right now. If this guy scores in a preseason game, it's over with. You're never going to hear anything else. You know, about throw it to Tebow in red zone, throw it to this, jump pass. I'm just saying, man, he's a polarizing figure. If he scores, it would be unreal.
And check this. Here's the low-key part that a lot of people kind of missed on the Tebow sign is that this takes a lot of pressure off of Trevor for those preseason games. Because now all eyes are on Tebow. Can Tebow block that guy? And they're not saying, okay, well, Trevor had 3 incompletions here. Everybody's going to be watching Tebow to see what he's doing. So that takes a lot of pressure off it. I doubt that played into their decision to sign him or not, but it does take a lot of pressure off the team.
Yeah. Speaking of the pressure and, you know, kind of all the attention that the team's getting both locally and nationally, and then we'll kind of wrap this up with you, Jamal, but there's been a lot of talk about the Jags and HBO Hard Knocks, even though there's a rule that says first-time coaches can't be on it. There's a lot of people petitioning for it, and I think the NFL would probably secretly really like that. Do you have any secret insight behind the scenes from a media perspective as to that becoming a thing that happens? Can you will that for us? Because that'd be awesome.
I don't have any secret insight on that one. In order for it to happen with the first-year head coach, the team would have to volunteer for it. And if Urban and the team volunteer for it, I don't see them getting told no.
I mean, he was on AEW with all these little X's and O's. And
that was cool. I like that. That was kind of cool, actually.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Urban's going to want to do that, though. Urban's been trying to show his face and do things like AEW and really kind of embrace different things that are going on around Jacksonville. But I think Hard Knocks might really push the paranoid football coach aside of him to say, oh, no, there's going to be all these cameras in my locker room and in my meeting rooms and stuff. Teams are going to – I don't think that's going to be up his alley. But if for whatever reason they thought they could, the NFL would jump at it. With Tebow, Trevor Lawrence, and Urban Meyer, oh, those ratings would be through the roof.
And everybody would really jump on it if he had to cut Tebow on Hard Knocks.
That would be musty. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my. You didn't think about that now.
Oh, my God. Oh, if he had to cut Tebow on Hard Knocks on a Sunday?
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday?
Wow, that's the crucial factor, actually. That's horrible.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Well, it would be pretty cool. So if you do have any sway, Jamal, and you happen to have Urban one-on-one, just put it out there that everybody wants to see it. So. Not that I'm sure he's not seeing this everywhere and hearing all this anyway, because he seems to be pretty active on social media, unless he's just got a really good team that does a lot of that stuff. But
no, he's actually really active with it. I've been surprised that I didn't realize he was going to tweet as much as he has. He loves that stuff, and he's been pretty active and making sure that he's visible and doing different things and supporting a lot of different local stuff and the things that the players have going on off the field. So he seems to be very active. I think that goes back to his college days where he had to recruit. So he kind of wanted to look active on social. That's probably what that is.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Well, we really appreciate you coming on. And I will say that you're an awesome follow on Twitter, especially being down at the OTAs and posting the video clips and everything like that. So if there are any Jags fans that, you know, for whatever reason are listening to us and not following you, which would make no sense. And I'm sure you have, you know, bazillion more followers than we do. But, you know, if you're not following Jamal, we certainly recommend it on Twitter. You can follow him at JSTCYRTV, and we'll put that in the podcast description as well. And you can also catch him covering the Jags for News for Jax. Jamal, I appreciate it, and we appreciate it again, you coming on and spending this time with us. Any parting words, you know, heading into the season?
Hey, you know, we'll see how things work out as they go through training camp. It's definitely going to be an exciting year. I'll leave you with, there'll definitely be more than one win. How about that?
Yes. Great. That's awesome. Very, very optimistic.
We'll hold you to that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to go ahead and put, I'm going to put my 2022 season ticket deposit down
just,
now.
Just because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You should work for the marketing team, actually. That'd be a good, good opportunity. But no, we appreciate it. And thanks again. And again, everybody listening, appreciate you guys taking your time to listen to the show. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review, preferably 5 stars. That'd be great. And we always love to hear your feedback as well. You can catch us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, all other podcast providers. And again, we are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. So thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.